The verses in Hebrews chapter 2, if you had to choose theme verses for it, and I don't know why, some people said this is a little bit fuzzy. We're going to work on it this week. I try fixing it a little bit. It should be a little sharper than that, and we're going to try to work on trying to get it sharper for you for next week. Habakkuk chapter 2, verses 3 and 4 says, "For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it surely will come. It will not tarry. Behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by faith." We're going to learn today the importance of the book of Habakkuk is that God expects the just to live by faith. Now, who's the just? It's those that have been justified, the Christians, the believers. And what God expects from us is that we live by faith. In the book of Habakkuk, this prophet of Habakkuk cries out to God, complaining to God, asking God some questions, and God gives him this answer: "The just shall live by faith." Wonderful book. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer as we get started on this lesson. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, help us this morning. Speak to people's hearts, God. Lord, we need to hear from you. We need to hear the truth that is found in this book. And Lord, we need to understand it so, Lord, it can help us live. And Lord, speak to the people's hearts, not only in this room, but throughout the church, as people are opening up the word of God and preaching and teaching. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. Habakkuk. This is a dialogue just like Jonah was, a dialogue between God and the prophet. God is trying to teach him something. God is trying to teach this message. And this book is about faith. It is a book that is a struggle and triumph of faith that took place in the life of Habakkuk. At the beginning, Habakkuk has a question. At the beginning, Habakkuk is perplexed. At the beginning, Habakkuk is wondering why God is not taking care of the wickedness and the evil that is all around him. Well, here we see that the struggle centers around the nation of Babylon and the relationship to Judah. How can God judge a sin with a nation more wicked than Judah? Brother Chambers, I think we're going to have to put the air on just a little bit to kind of knock the heat down a little bit. How can God judge a sin of wickedness with a nation more wicked than Judah? You say, "Pastor, what are you getting at?" Look in Habakkuk chapter number one, verse number one. The burden which Habakkuk the prophet did see. "O Lord, how shall I cry, and thou wilt not hear? Even cry unto thee of violence, and thou wilt not save. Why dost thou show me iniquity, and cause me to be whole grievance? For spoiling and violence are before me, and there are that raise up strife and contention. Therefore the law is slacked, and judgment doth never go forth. For the wicked doth compass about the righteous. Therefore wrong judgment proceedeth." Boy, he is saying here, he says, look, he's looking at his nation, he's looking at his people and saying, there is wickedness all around us. And he's saying, God, why are you not doing something about it? God, why are you allowing, it seems like, the wicked to prevail? Why are you allowing all this strife? And when he talked about it in verse number 3, all the strife, the contention. Verse number 4, he talked about how the law was not being followed. Judgment was not coming forth. There was no honesty in amongst the people. And amongst those that judge, and the wicked compasses about the righteous. It means that there were few that were living for God, and wickedness was all around them. There was a few over here living for God, but there was so much more wickedness than the righteous. And that's what he's saying in verse number 2. He says, how long do I have to cry? How long do I got to keep on saying this? Lord, when will you judge the wicked? Well, God tells him, well, I'm going to judge him. And he goes and he tells him that he's going to judge him with the Babylonians. And he says the Babylon was going to come, and God, and look in verse number 5. "Behold, ye among the heathen, and regard and wonder marvelously, for I will work a work in your days which ye will not believe, though it would be told you." He says, judgment is coming. You're not going to believe what's going to happen. Verse number 6. "For lo, I raised up the Chaldeans, that bitter and hasty nation, which shall march through the breadth of the land to possess the dwelling places that are not theirs." And then it begins to describe the Babylonians. And Habakkuk does not like this. Habakkuk says, God, you can't do that. God, how can you use a nation more wicked than us to judge us? And that's when God comes back with this answer, that the just must live by faith. So let's look at a couple more things before we get into the whole point of the message. The date of the book. When did Habakkuk write the book? Written by an author here, it's a good explanation. We are plainly told that it was when the Chaldeans were rising to power. Now it was not until Nineveh had been destroyed that Babylon rose above the nations as a new dominating world power. Which fact at once suggests that Habakkuk was written a little before, or probably soon after, the fall of Nineveh. We learned about Nineveh last week in Nahum, the judgment that was given there. This is probably somewhere around 608 BC. This is probably around the time and opportunity right before the Chaldeans came and destroyed Jerusalem. This would put its writing during the reign of Jehoiakim, which would also be a contemporary of Jeremiah. So during this time, Habakkuk is writing the same time that Jeremiah is crying out, asking the people to repent. Jeremiah hears crying out. Remember, for those many years, he kept on trying to get the nation of Israel and Judah to get to repent, Jerusalem to repent and come back to God. And it seemed like it fell on deaf ears. We're going to do something a little bit different than we normally do, because we're going to try to cover the majority of this text or this book today in the two services. We're going to look at this in an outline form. If you look inside on your thing there, you got it in an outline form. The perplexity of the prophet would be considered Roman numeral number one. The perplexity of the prophet is to be considered Roman numeral number one. Now, when you consider this, this is the problem that Habakkuk had. Same problem that many of us have. Same questions that we ask. Lord, why is it that the wicked seem like they're prevailing? Why does it look like the wicked is compassing us around? Why does it look like that everything is going for them? And he's asking this question. His first problem is, God, why are you permitting this evil? And when we look at our country today, I think this is the question we ask ourselves. God, why are you allowing this to happen to this great nation, this great city, this great, and you know, why are you allowing evil to happen? And God answers. We read that in verses 5 and 6. God's answer was, hey, look, I am going to judge. I am going to take care of it. But Habakkuk didn't like it. God was raising up the Chaldeans to punish Judah. The second problem of the prophet was, why would God permit his people to be punished by a nation more wicked than they? Look here in verse number 12. It says, art thou not from everlasting, O Lord my God, my Holy One? We shall not die, O Lord. Thou hast ordained them for judgment, and O mighty God, thou hast established them for correction. If we go back, you remember what we learned about Jonah. Was Jonah in that nation in that time, they had a pride. They were God's people. Nothing like this could ever happen to God's people. And I think this is the same pride that Habakkuk has. Habakkuk does not think that the Chaldeans should have the right to judge the Israelites. These are God's chosen people. No way that God would allow this to happen. And that's when Habakkuk looks to God, and this is his second problem, which is greater than the first. He says, how in the world could you allow his people to be punished by a nation more wicked than they? He could not understand why he did not destroy the Chaldeans. He could not understand why God would allow all this to happen. And so in verses 12 through 17, he begins to talk about God, begins to show how great God is, and he cannot understand. Look what it says in verse number 17, chapter 2, verse number 1. Not only do we see the perplexity of the prophet, we see the patience of the prophet. Habakkuk is a prophet of God. He does not understand why God would send these Chaldeans, these Babylonians, to destroy the nation of Israel. So in chapter number 2, we see the patience of the prophet. So we see here, first of all, the practice of the prophet. What happens is in verse number 1, he says, I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower and will watch to see what he will say unto me and what I shall answer when I am reproved. So Habakkuk has this problem, same problem that many of us have. Why in the world is God allowing these things to happen? Same age-old question. Why will God allow the wicked to prosper? Why in the world will God allow these things to come pass in my life? And God answers him. We're thankful that God answers prayers. God says, look, we are going to be judged. This is how it's going to do it. Habakkuk says, I don't like that. I want you to change that. He says, I don't understand why you would allow this. And in chapter number 2, verse number 1, what does he do? He takes his secret problem to the secret place. He's got a problem. He doesn't understand why the nation is going to be judged the way it's going to be judged. So what does he do? He says, I'm going to go stand. And it says in verse number 1, I will stand upon my watch. He's saying, I'm going to go stand on the watch. You know, we know what most of the watchtowers were back then. It was up on a wall. They could see the enemy. And then they could see those in the city, both. And wickedness are out there with the enemy, and there's wickedness in the city. And Habakkuk was saying, I am going to go to God, and I'm going to be patient, and I'm going to wait until he says something to me. And that's what he said. He set me upon the tower, and will watch to see what he will say unto me, and what I shall answer when I am reproved. And that's what he's saying. Look, I'm going to sit there, and I'm going to wait until God gives me this answer. And that's when we have a problem, when we have a need, we need to get to this point where we say, instead of going and doing what we think is right, we need to wait on God and allow God to tell us the answer he wants us to learn. He can be preparing our hearts for the answer that we need. And the response that God gives to Habakkuk is found in verses 2 through 20. And the Lord answered me. Isn't it great we serve a God that answers us? I don't know about you, but isn't it God? When we got a problem, we got a need, sometimes it is wait. Sometimes he says what he says in the book of Daniel, close up the books. That's not for you to worry about. That's not for you to need. But God speaks to us and God answers us when we have a problem, when we have a need. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision, make it plain upon the tables, that he may run that read of it. Verse number 3 is a great verse in the Bible. It says, for the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. We're going to talk about that towards the end of the lesson. But God is telling Habakkuk, look, everything is for an appointed time. Everything is for a reason. Even though you think that it's tarrying, even though you think it's waiting too long, it will not tarry. Everything is on God's calendar. Everything is on God's time. God is not making up this as it goes along. The word of God was written, has been established in heaven forever. God knows everything in his foreknowledge. He has it all laid out. He has the plans all. Nothing you do takes God by surprise. And that's what he's telling Habakkuk here. Don't you worry about how I'm going to judge it, Jerusalem. Then he tells him in verse number 4, an amazing verse, what I think is one of the greatest verses in all the Bible. It says, behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. What he is saying here is, look, don't you worry about how I'm going to take care of Jerusalem. It is your job to do this. It is your job to live by faith. It is your job to do what you're supposed to do. You might not understand everything. You might think it's taking too long. You might think I need to be judging sin. You might think I need to be judging this nation. You might think I need to destroy the Chaldeans. You might think all these different things, but that is not your job. God is not calling you, asking you what he should do with America. God is telling you to live by faith. And that's what's the idea here. The just shall live by faith. And then he goes on. In verses 5 all the way through 20, he begins to tell them and explain to them the reason why we should just go ahead and live by faith. This verse teaches us that pride, this verse number 4 teaches us that pride is the enemy of faith. Pride is the enemy of faith. When we turn around and say, I think I can do better, I think I know more, I think I understand more than God, and that I know what God should be doing in my life, and I know what God should be doing in America, and I know what God should be doing in my family, that is when the faith stops, and that thing that is in opposition to the faith that God expects us to have becomes an enemy of God. Now, here you say, Pastor, I just think God would be great if God could judge certain spots and get things right. It's not for us to figure out. What is our job? The just shall live by faith. And that's what he's telling Habakkuk. Habakkuk's not some wicked guy trying to get his enemies destroyed. Habakkuk is the prophet of God. And you see in verse number 1, it says, is the burden that he saw is something that affected him. What affected him? It was his nation's sin. His sin was, his nation was sinning and sinning and sinning, and it burdened him. It broke his heart. He was praying to God saying, God, won't you please judge this sin? Won't you please, please God, do something to turn this nation back? And God says, I'm going to. He said, but you're not going to believe what I'm going to do. I'm going to take the Chaldeans from down there to come up and destroy you. He's like, you can't do that, God. And that's when he says at the beginning of verse number 1, he says that when he is reproved, he's not looking for God to punish him because he has done wrong. He's talking about reproof, about him being corrected. He's like, Lord, there's something I don't see. There's something I don't understand. In verse number 1 and chapter number 2, it says, "What I shall answer when I am reproved." He's saying, Lord, there is something here that I'm not getting, and I'm going to this watchtower, and I'm going to go sit, and I'm going to seek you, and I'm going to go to the secret place with my secret problem and ask for you to teach me what it is you want me to learn. Help me to see. And here's his response. Habakkuk, this is what I want you to do. Despite what everything else is going through, I want you to live by faith. Now, the Lord reveals three things in this answer. First, he tells him that pride is the enemy of faith and tells him that his job is to live by faith. Second thing I want you to see is in verse number 14, it says, but the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord. Chapter 2, verse number 14, the word of God says, for the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord. The waters cover the sea. There is a day coming when all the earth will understand the glory of the Lord. There is a day coming when Jesus Christ comes back that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And that's what he's saying to Habakkuk. Look, even though it might seem like it's tearing, even though look, you might think that things are going wrong, the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord. But also, chapter number 2 and verse number 20, you see he teaches him this, but the Lord is in his holy temple, let all the earth keep silence before him. He says, look, the Lord is sitting in his holy temple. The Lord is the one that's on the throne. We talk about the human throne that the kings used to sit on in Judah. And you saw in chapter number 1, everything was corrupt. Everything was wicked. We learned that in the other books of the Bible when we saw that everything was wrong. But it's the picture that God is still sitting on the holy throne and that God is the one that's still in charge. And he is watching and he is allowing things and he is even guiding things to this end moment in time, when all the world's going to know that Jesus Christ and the glory of the Lord. And what is our responsibility to do? What is it your responsibility to do? It is to live by faith. And that's what he's telling Habakkuk here, the patience of the prophet. Chapter number 3 is what we're going to look at for a few minutes here. There is one more thing in chapter number 2. In the midst of the three truths, God pronounces the judgment about the Babylonians. The rest of the chapter, he's telling Habakkuk, I see the Babylonian sins. And many of these sins are things that the nation of Israel is guilty of. He talks about their covetousness. He talks about them causing another to sin. He talks about idolatry. He shows them that in this passage of Scripture that he is not allowing this to come that the Babylonians are not getting off scot-free. And we know that through the book of Daniel, that the Babylonians were destroyed. So I want you to get that's the patience of the prophet there in chapter number 2. We see that he goes to God with his questions. He goes to God with his concerns. He seeks God's help. And this is what the question is for you, is are we living by faith? Are we going to God and saying, God, I got this need. I got this problem. I'm not going anywhere, Lord, until you help me and show me the right direction like Habakkuk did. And God gave him the answer. Look, this is what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to live by faith. And he says, you're not supposed to worry about those other things. Now we see the third thing is Habakkuk hears the answer of God and it affects him. Chapter number 3 is where we're going to spend a little bit of time at. Habakkuk repenting. Chapter 3, verse number 1 and 2 says, a prayer of Habakkuk, the prophet, upon a Shigonoth. O Lord, I've heard thy speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make known, and wrath, remember mercy. Amen. Now, you say, Pastor, why is that any different than us? Well, see, in verse number 2, it says, O Lord, I heard thy speech and was afraid. Habakkuk believed what God said. It affected him. It changed him. When he heard from God, when God spoke to his heart and says, look, Babylon's coming, and all I want you to do is live by faith. Despite everything else, you know around you will be destroyed. He might have even lost his life in this. We don't know what happened during those times and those days, but we do know. We know nothing about Habakkuk's personal information. But he says, all I want you to do is walk through this, and I want you to walk through it by faith. And that's what Habakkuk is. He repents in the idea that he ever questioned God. He repents in the idea that he ever thought that he knew more than God and that he would have a right to tell God what God should be and should not be doing. And Habakkuk repents. The prophet who thought God was doing nothing about evil, now ask him to remember to be merciful. Everything's changed. He's turned around and God kind of opened up the windows a little bit and says, this is what's going to happen. This is what's going on. He says, Lord, please remember mercy. And you know what he begs God to do? He says, O Lord, revive thy work. No longer is it his nation. No longer does he have the pride saying, God, you can't do that to us. We're your chosen people. No longer is he talking about how God had ordained them for certain things and how they were not going to die. And instead, he says, Lord, this is your work. He says, this is thy work. Revive it in the midst of the years. In the midst of years, make known. He says, in the midst of the years. I like that phrase. In the midst, in his years, he was saying, Lord, in my years, in the midst of the years, Lord, please revive thy work. In the midst of the years, remember mercy. In the midst of the years, make yourself known. And that's what he's asking. He's saying, okay, God, you know everything. You are right. You are truthful. You are good. And I'm getting on board for what you're trying to do. But he says, Lord, please be merciful to us. And that's why I think all we can do as many times is ask God to show mercy on our nation. We don't deserve God's mercy, but thankfully we serve a God that is merciful. God in many ways could be right down the pathway. We're asking God, why are you letting the wicked go through and why are you letting all these things happen? And God could be saying, look, what I want you to do is the just shall live by faith. I got everything on time. Everything's headed the right direction, and we need to learn to walk and live by faith. Then we see in verses 3 through 15, for sake of time, we're not going to read it. In verses 3 through 15, Habakkuk's remembering. What is Habakkuk remembering? He's remembering God. He's meditating on God. He's considering God. In this story, you can see three different characters, and we don't have time to go through all of it, but I think you can see where Abraham, the story of Abraham, and he's not mentioned. The story of Moses and the going through the Red Sea, the things with Joshua. He's remembering how God was faithful and how God was good throughout this whole entire time. And he's sitting there saying, he's remembering God. And as he remembers how God has taken care of the nation, he is finally saying, you know what, Lord, you took care of us back then. I'm putting my faith and trust in you. And then in verses 16 through 19, we see Habakkuk resting. What do you mean resting? He's not worried anymore. He's not turning around saying, oh no, what are we going to do? Oh no, the nation's going so wrong. The nation's going so bad. You know, he's saying, I'm going to walk in my faith. I'm not going to be concerned. He's going to pray. He's going to fast. He's going to seek for revival, yes. But we see that he's going to rest in God. Look what it says in verse 16. Remember, 17. Remember, this is a man who at the beginning had a question mark. At the beginning, he's saying, God, how can you let these things happen? God, why are you? He's questioning God. He doesn't understand why God does not do what he thinks he should do. He comes from a point of pain and goes to pleasure. He learns from a point of being pitiful for himself and starts rejoicing for God. Verse number 17, although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the field shall yield no meat, the flock shall be cut off in the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. But verse 18, he says, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord is my strength, and he will make my feet like the hind's feet, and he will make me to walk upon mine hind places. The chief singer is on my stringed instruments. He thinks of some of the worst things that could ever happen to this nation. And he says, and then after he says those worst things, in verse number 18, he says, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. He says, no matter how bad things are going to get, no matter how bad things seem like they're impossible to go through, he says, yet will I rejoice in the Lord. And that's where the joy shall walk, the just shall walk in their faith. That's where they get. That's where God wants us to get. He says he doesn't want us looking unto the circumstances of this world. He wants us to be looking to the author and finisher of our faith. And in the service to follow, we're going to talk a little bit about our faith and the just walking by their faith and understanding who the object of our faith is. And the object of our faith is Jesus Christ. But in this understanding here, in this passage of Scripture, I want you to get here in verse 17. He's saying, although my whole world fall apart, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. We come to Thanksgiving time and we think, okay, I got to think of things to be thankful for. Habakkuk here is saying, look, I'm not looking for things to be thankful for. I'm just rejoicing in the Lord because I know I have so much to be thankful for. He says, even though all the bad things happen, he says, I know God is in control. I know God is, everything is going on the way God has planned it. He's ordained these things to happen. He's allowing these things to happen. And I'm going to rejoice in the Lord. And what you see that next phrase at verse 18, he says, I will joy in the God of my salvation. He has joy because he knows in the end that it will produce salvation. That's the key here. In this world, it might seem like crazy, but in the end, we can always join the fact that we are eternally secure in the Father's hand. And in verse number 19, he goes a step farther. He says, not only will I rejoice in him, he is his strength. He is the one that's going to lift him up to be able to walk on the high places, and he will always be willing to minister and praise the Lord with the stringed instruments. Okay, so what is the living truth? The eternal permanent value of today was God expects to live by faith. God expected this prophet of God that loved God, that was mourning over the wickedness, that was mourning over the evil. He was saying, I want you to do something. I want you to live by faith. That's what I want you to do. So what is the living truth for the living value today? It is, we need to walk by faith and not by sight. It's a pretty simple thing. It's a verse that we say, for we walk by faith, not by sight. That's what we need to learn to start doing, is walking in the trust and the faith and the believing of what Jesus Christ and who Jesus Christ is. And I brought this verse up here that we talked about in verse chapter 2, verse number 3. It says, for the vision is yet for an appointed time. What God is telling Habakkuk here, he's saying, look, Jesus Christ is coming back. You'll see that in Hebrews chapter number 10, we're going to look at that out front today for a few minutes, where it says, for the vision is yet for an appointed time, it's talking about the vision here is going to become the him in Jesus Christ. And that even though it might seem like Jesus Christ is tarrying, he is coming back sometime, and he is coming back someday. He says, but at the end it shall speak and not lie, though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. See, Pastor, they're contradicting themselves there. And that's not the truth. It is the reality of it is. He's saying, look, even though it might seem like it tarrying, it's not going to tarry at all. It's all on God's time period. Now, think about it this way. Some people say, if the Lord tarries. You know what? The Lord is not tarrying. The Lord is right on plan. God, he already has it in the calendar. He already knows when he's coming. It's easier to say. It's better to say, if the Lord will, I will be doing this. If the Lord will, I'll do that. But the Lord's not tarrying. The Lord's not just waiting around. The Lord knows exactly what's going on. It's marked on his calendar. He knows when he's coming back, and he got it all figured out. And that's what sometimes we lose this faith, this sight of God, and thinking that I wonder if God knows everything that's going on. But you see it says, but at the end it shall speak. At the end it is going to speak. And when Jesus Christ comes back for the church, and when the great tribulation happens, and when he comes back and gets rid of all the wickedness in the world and sets up that millennial kingdom, that will speak louder than anything that's ever been spoken before. He is coming. And even though it might seem like he's taking too long, and even though it doesn't happen on our calendar, even though it doesn't happen according to our time, it's not tarrying. It's just that he asks us. He expects us. He wants us to walk by faith. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for today. Thank you for the opportunity to be able to come to your house today. Lord, I know that the circumstances of this world can really drive us crazy at times. Lord, we can all that are sincerely interested in serving you talk about how we are discouraged by the evil and the wickedness that is all around us. We can all understand where Habakkuk is coming from. Lord, why are you allowing all this to happen? But Lord, help us to grasp the answer that you've given us. As Lord, that the just, we need to walk by faith. We need to believe that God is in control, that God's sitting on his holy throne, that God is in charge. And Lord, that we will just yet all these things happen, I will still rejoice in you. Lord, help us today. Help us to understand the truths of this word. In Jesus' name. Amen.